Spirit. And in my mind, I say, well, how do you know? How do you know that's taking place in your life? How do I measure that? And the fruits show the roots, right? So look, if the fruit's there, it really reveals what kind of root system we're talking about. And so that's what Paul says. He gives 15 fruits of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5. And he says, look, if these things are there in your life on a consistent basis without repentance, without turning from them, then the roots are that you are not part of God's kingdom, meaning you don't have the Holy Spirit in your life. That's the reason there's no freedom. That's what he says. And then he moves from there and he says there's 9 fruits of the Spirit. These 9 things we've been talking about. And he says, and if these things are in your life, it's proof that you have the freedom of the Holy Spirit. And the roots are now that you are under grace and not under law. And so he tells us you're no longer under the law at the very end of this wonderful list. Now, today we're going to be talking about gentleness or meekness. And the English doesn't have this word. We don't exactly catch the meaning of it. But in the Greek, they're almost the same. You'll see them used interchangeably in your Bible. And what it means is the meekness speaks of the inward attitude, the inward heart attitude. Gentleness then is the outward display of meekness. Does that make sense? Meekness is what goes on in the heart. Gentleness is how meekness is displayed. So when the Bible talks about generally the heart position, it'll use the word meekness. When it talks about the display of that, it'll use the word gentleness. It's the same idea. And so we're going to, as we study through this, we're going to use those two words interchangeably. Now listen, the Bible's full of the word of exhortations to be meek. Jesus says, be meek like me. This Galatians 5 says the Spirit now is in you working meekness in all believers. Titus tells us to be meek towards all people. And the question is, do you understand what it means to be called to meekness? Is your idea of meekness kind of the weak, pathetic, sad individual who's just not strong enough and too cowardice to deal with anything in his life? When the Bible calls you to meekness, you say, oh no, I'm too strong for that. Do you understand what the scriptures mean when it calls you to meekness? That's what we're going to try to unpack. So let me just read Galatians 5, 22, and then we're going to spend the rest of our time in Numbers 12. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things there is no law. Notice that word gentleness is the exact same word for meekness. Now flip in your Bibles to Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. So it's the fourth book in the Bible. Okay, tell me when you're there. You're there. Okay, cool. I'll just read it. Miriam and Aaron, who are the brother and sister of Moses, spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married. For he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all people who were on the face of the earth. And suddenly the Lord said to Moses and to Aaron and to Miriam, come out, you three, to the tent of meetings. And the three of them came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance of the tent and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forward. And he said, hear my words. If there is a prophet amongst you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak mouth to mouth clearly and not in riddles, and he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. When the cloud removed from over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous like snow. And Aaron turned towards Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said to Moses, "Oh, my Lord, do not punish us because we have done foolishly and have sinned. Let her not be as one of those dead whose flesh is half eaten away when he comes out of his mother's womb." And Moses cried to the Lord, "Oh God, please heal her, please." But the Lord said to Moses, if her father had put spit in her face, she should not be ashamed 7 days. Let her be shut outside the camp 7 days, and after that she may be brought in again." So Miriam was shut outside the camp 7 days, and the people did not set out on the march till Miriam was brought in again. Let's pray for our time. Heavenly Father, I thank you for meekness. God, I thank you that Moses the strong was the meekest man that's ever lived outside of Christ. Jesus, the mighty God, Savior of all things, was a man of meekness. Titus tells us to be meek towards everyone. God, I just pray right now that our hearts would be hearts that are filled with meekness. And teach us what that means today, God, that we would be gentle. God, we'd have our affections and our passions and our anger under control, Lord, as we deal with each other. And when people see us, they would not see weak people. They would see Christ. They would see meekness in us. And God, as people see us walking in meekness and gentleness, Lord, they would marvel, and we could point them to the meek Savior, God of all power, who became man, the picture of meekness to the world. God, speak to us right now. Convict our hearts. Change us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I need to tell you, I'm getting a lot of my thoughts from this old commentator named Matthew Henry. When most people think of meekness, they probably think of weakness, don't they, right? They think of cowardice. They think of timidity. They think of lack of confidence. And I think the story that comes to my mind is in The Wizard of Oz, when you have the Scarecrow, the Lion, Dorothy, and the Tin Man, and they all enter into the castle. You remember that? Any wizard fans here? Yeah. And they're gripping each other's hands, if you remember the scene, and they're shaking terribly. And suddenly there's a loud voice that comes out, and it says, "Come forward." And when the lion hears that, he says, "Tell me when it's over. I want to go home." Fire comes up from the stage, and the loud voice again speaks, and it says, "I am Oz, the great and powerful. Who are you?" And then you hear it a second time. "Who are you?" And there they are, the four, shaking hands, looking at each other, frightened. And suddenly Dorothy steps up thinking, "Well, I need to tell him who I am too." She says, "I am Dorothy, the small and the meek." Now, in English, the word meekness and gentleness often means weak and timid, right? It is Dorothy before Oz, but not so in the Bible. In the Bible, it means almost the opposite of that scene. You see, when Paul says the Spirit works meekness in you, he's describing something that comes actually out of strength rather than something that comes out of weakness. It's a word that means your strength under control. This is our physical strength, our mental strength, our financial strength, your colossal intellect that you might have, your wonderful ability to use your words, whatever it is, however God has strengthened you in various ways, it's coming under control, not your control, under the control of His wisdom. Now, with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, these things that we've been talking about, you kind of know if they're lacking in your life, right? It shows pretty evidently if those things are not there. But how do you know if meekness, how do you know if meekness is lacking in your life? What does that look like? Well, you remember we talked about those 15 fruits of the flesh, didn't we? And the opposite one to meekness is enmity in relationships, strife with others, fits of anger when we don't get our own way, So people lacking meekness are impatient toward anyone who disagrees with them. And you, if you're lacking meekness, you must have everything your own way. Well, if you're lacking meekness, you often feel that people are injuring you with their looks, with their words, what they write on Facebook, what they write in emails. And therefore, we're constantly staying angry with other people because there's no inward meekness. We feel like we're always treated unfairly. So we're always outspoken about what we want and about our hurt feelings. Does that make sense? Without meekness, instead of all of our strength, all of our feelings, all of our ambitions, goals, being under the control of God's wisdom and used for His glory, suddenly they're under the control of my wisdom. And the result is always anger, malice, broken relationships that grieve the Spirit, destroys God's work in us as we become unwilling to listen and follow His word. And Christian community is destroyed because meekness is the glue in all Christian community. So here's the main idea. We must show all meekness towards all people. We must show all meekness towards all people. Okay? So maybe I hope you're feeling, I need to grow in meekness. That's what I hope you're sensing right now. Because when I read this, that's what hit me. So let's just look at three things about meekness. And let me say this. The Bible is full of passages on meekness and gentleness. I've just tried to focus on a few. Here's point one. Meekness towards the meekless. Meekness towards the meekless. And I'm going to read you a verse before we look at Numbers. Titus 3:2. To speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, right? Gentle, meekness, same idea. And to show gentleness towards all people. Now, with that idea, all people in your mind, let's look at Numbers 12, verse 1 and 2. Let me read that to you. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not also spoken through us? Now think about that Titus 3 verse. And Titus says that we are to show meekness towards everybody. And I find it the hardest people to show meekness to are in two categories. It's first, it's those that are closest to me. Those that I love the most because I see their sins the most. I see their heart the most. And it's harder for me to be meek with them when I find I just want to punish them for the things they continue to do again and again and again and again. But then the second group I think that we struggle is with is the meekless. Those who are angry all the time. Those who have self-righteousness and those who always want to get their way, it's hard for us to want to be meek with them, isn't it? Now, with those two things in mind, notice what's happening here. Here we see the meekness of Moses on display towards both those things in his siblings. Look at your Bible. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. So his own brother and sister publicly in front of people speak against him, and they envy the honor that he receives from God and man. But this anger, this meeklessness, has deeper roots than just anger. Look again. Spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman he had married. They didn't like his wife, right? Now, the Cushites lived in that time in what's modern-day Ethiopia. And when we look at Egyptian hieroglyphs, we see that they were dark people. Okay, they looked African. And so maybe there was some racism here. There were some cultural differences. But his family, in particular Miriam, did not approve of her. And so instead of bringing her feelings and her anger about this marriage under God's wisdom, she brings them under her own wisdom. She wants to control them, and she incites rebellion towards Moses. Now, Before the Bible describes Moses in meekness, which is verse 3, it tells us here in verse 2, tells us about the meekness, his siblings. Meekness always begins by saying, whatever pleases God must not displease me. That's where meekness starts. Whatever pleases God must not displease me. Meekness is the quiet submission of all of our lives to his will. Even our anger about who our brother marries, to his will. Submitting to every divine truth. And where it is lacking, the heart is hard towards submitting to God's will. Years ago, one of my best friends was getting married in the States, and he asked me to be his best man. The problem was I was living in Mongolia at the time, and I didn't have a whole lot of time. I'm not real good at, I used to not be real good at thinking for the future, and so I'd wait till the last minute. I don't do that anymore. And so I went to get my stamp on my passport that I needed to go to America, and I barely got it at the embassy. And so I pack up my stuff, and I go to the airport, and I go through the line. I've got my ticket and everything, and there, standing at the entrance, were a couple of Mongolian soldiers. And they were checking everyone that went through to make sure that you had the right stamps on your passport. And unfortunately, in my haste, I'd gotten the wrong stamp at the embassy. And so they closed up my passport and gave it back to me, and they said, I'm sorry, you can't enter. And they were right for doing so, but they kept me off the plane. Now listen, that's what meekness does in the heart. It's like a soldier at wartime examining everyone, everything, every idea that wants to come on board by God's truth and by God's wisdom, allowing some to enter the heart and mind and keeping others away. And without meekness, we become like Miriam and Aaron, hearts controlled by anger, jealousy, fits of rage, rather than the will of God. So there's the first thing. Meekness towards the meekless. Moses towards his brother and sister. Here's the second thing we want to see. Strength under God's control. Strength under God's control. Let me read to you Psalm 25, verses 8 and 9. The meek will he teach his way. The meek will he teach his way. Now, Numbers 12. Verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all people on the face of the earth. Stop. After showing the meekness, the brother and sister, God says of all people that have ever lived, Moses is the meekness. And what he means is Moses has incredible power, doesn't he? He is the leader of a nation. He is the mouthpiece of God to a nation, to a people. And all of his strength is and his wisdom and his might are under the wisdom of God's control. And after this incredible statement, the story then illustrates what it's just unpacked in verses 1 to 3. God then calls out these three siblings, and he comes down in a pillar of cloud. And then after all three of them are standing before him, he calls out Miriam and Aaron towards him, the two meekless. And there he utterly defends Moses. He says this, he is faithful in all my house. With him I speak mouth to mouth, clearly and not in riddles. And he beholds the form of the Lord. Now, that's awesome. Moses never says a word. He's quiet through the whole thing. He's not cursing his siblings. He never says, look, you see, I told you. He never says, do you know who I am? I'm Moses. I'm the man that goes up on the mountain. It's meekness on display, strength under God's wisdom, utterly trusting God to defend him. And God says, with his meekness, this is the one I speak to. That's the connection I want you to make here. The one who is the meekest is also the one whom God says, I communicate to the absolute most. When we were home, we visited a friend's factory, and he made parts for trains in his factory. And he had one room where he poured liquid rubber into these big molds. And then they would let it sit for days until the mold had shaped it into the things they were trying to make. And it did. The liquid certainly went from a liquid to looking exactly like what they were trying to make. Now, that's what meekness does. Psalm 25 again. The meek will he teach his way. Notice again, after God says Moses is the meekest, his testimony to Aaron and Miriam is, with him I speak the most. Not in riddles, because he understands me. Listen, to the meekest God speaks the most. James 1:21 says it like this, receive with meekness the implanted word. God's word, his will, is only grafted into the meek heart. Life that is submitted to his will, that's where the word grafts into. You might say it like this. Meekness breaks up hard soil so that the seed of God's word can come in and can be planted there and have a harvest. You might say it like this. Meekness makes our life like a sheet of paper blank before God where he's ready to write on it and speak his will. And therefore, the Bible connects meekness and joy together. Listen, Isaiah 29:19. The meek also shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord. I want to just connect this for you before we go on any further. The greater we place the strength of our life under God's wisdom, under his will, the more joy we experience from God, because like Moses, we are better able to hear God in our meek hearts. And the more we hear from his word, the closer we are to him by him implanting his word, speaking to our hearts. What comes with that word is joy as we draw close to God. So I'll say it like this. The meek heart is not just the one that the word is implanted into. The meek heart is the one that finds the greatest joy, fresh joy in God. Here's the third thing. The third thing. And we'll close with this. Meekness is the bond of Christian community. Meekness is the bond of Christian community. After God pulls out Miriam and Aaron, God's punishment then is Miriam becomes leprous. And it describes her leprosy in great detail. It says, all of her skin turns white as snow. And according to the Jewish law, if you were leprous, you were to be put outside the village. You were to be an outcast. Now stop. This is quite interesting. There's more here that meets the eye. What's God doing here? What God does is Miriam, who doesn't like Zipporah, probably because of pride, Moses' wife, and she wants to drive Moses away. But God then gives her leprosy, which turns her skin white and removes her from God's people. Now, I might be wrong, but I don't think I am. And I think what God is saying is, you are proud, Miriam, of your skin color. You're proud that your skin's a little lighter, of your family heritage. And now you want to take Moses, who's got the dark-skinned wife, and you want to set him apart and kick him out of God's people. My punishment to you is I'm going to give you white skin. And I'm going to let you know how it feels to be ostracized. And I'm going to put you out of God's people for 7 days to let you know how your own sin feels and tastes. Now, there she goes. You can imagine it, right? She's white, head to toe. She's in shock. She's leaving God's people. Verse 13. Notice the response of meekness. And Moses cried to the Lord, oh God, please heal her, please. Moses has the strength to punish her, right? He has the strength not to forgive her. He has the strength to disown her and say, yeah, go. But what does he do? He completely surrenders all of his strength to God's will. And he pleads with all of his heart for his sister. In other words, there's no anger. It's God, show your grace. God, show your mercy. And therefore, the scripture says, he's the meekest that's ever been. Now, notice lastly, before we move on, what happens when she stays? What happens when she's not ostracized? It keeps together God's community, doesn't it? Notice, his meekness is what keeps it's the glue that keeps God's people together in his family and in God's people. Meekness is the glue of Christian community. Let me explain with three things and we'll close. What does that mean, Rusty? What does that look like? Galatians 6:1. Paul says, restore sinful brothers in a spirit of meekness. How do you approach the Christian who is in rebellion? You don't do it in anger. You do it in meekness. You do it by putting everything under God's wisdom. And as you do, you keep God's community together. 2 Timothy 2:25, Paul says, not to be argumentative, but correct people in meekness. When you get angry with someone, when you're theologically talking with someone, when you disagree with someone because they don't want to baptize babies and you do, how do you disagree with them? He says you do it with meekness. You put all your intellectual might under God's wisdom. And it's the glue that keeps Christian community together. And lastly, and I think most importantly, is this. 1 Corinthians 10:1. Paul says, he entreats the Corinthian church by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Let's close with this idea. Paul entreats them to action by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. In other words, he calls God's people to action, and he does it by Jesus' meekness, which means what motivates us to action is remembering what Jesus did. And what Paul is saying to you and to me is, look, you're to go and respond. You're to go and live a holy life, a wonderful life that obeys and loves God. And you do that how? By remembering the meekness of Christ. By remembering that, like we said earlier, God of all power, the God who created all things, he put all of his strength under the Father's will. So we see him just about to go to the cross, and he says, Father, I don't want to drink this cup, but not my will, yours be done. And Paul tells us, look, when you're thinking about obeying or not obeying, remember the meekness of Christ. Remember that God of all power came and did the Father's will and died for you because he loved you. Let the meekness of Jesus motivate you towards obeying and towards holiness. How do we think and live this? How do we take this from our head to our heart? Well, I just have one question. Is your strength, is the power of your life used and surrendered to the will and wisdom of God? The strength of your mind, of your intellect, of your leadership, of your finances, of your physical abilities? If so, the fruits, like we said, should be rich fellowship with God's people as you experience the community of believers. It should be receiving and having the word engrafted into that heart, and you're seeing fruit come out of it. And it should be, lastly, real and fresh joy like the word promises. That's how we know the meekness is there. If meekness is lacking, your strength is under your control, the fruits in your life will be enmity in relationships, strife with other people, fits of anger when you don't get your way, impatience with those who you disagree with, and a feeling that you are always treated unfairly, and you will be an absolute terror to the peace of the church and towards relationships that we are in. I just want to pray then, is that you? Which one describes you? And either one, we need to grow in more meekness. And two, we need to repent of our lack of meekness and our own anger and having our own strength under our own control. I just want to take a time right now where we do that and we just pray to God. We repent and we ask for more. Can you pray with me? Father, I thank you for gospel motivation. I thank you for Paul's motivation. He says, remember the meek Jesus. All power, doing the will of God, dying for us, and then respond. Lord, as we respond to the gospel, some of us need to grow in meekness. We need more meekness in our heart. God, Lord, we need our strength, our power in a greater way under the wisdom of God, used under the wisdom of God, Lord, so that Christ is glorified and seen, so that our marriages are healthier, our parenting is better, the way we conduct business is done in a God-honoring greater way. Lord, I pray for that. Grow us in meekness by your Spirit. For the other, for those who have a genuine lack of meekness in our life, where we do everything in our own strength, our own control, all of our gifts are done in our own wisdom, Lord, and we see anger, we see all those fruits in our life. God, I pray right now that your Spirit would give real repentance, God, that you would convict us of that, Lord, and we could turn from that, God, and we could trust whatever wonderful abilities and gifts that you've given us under your word, under your wisdom, God, under your leading, all of our life under your guidance, trusting and resting. Lord, so we ask forgiveness for that. God, let your Spirit minister grace to us in various ways. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.